Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Normally, I would say happy Monday, but it's not Monday, it's Tuesday. Although it is a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. Welcome in. Local programming back after the three-day weekend. Spencer on Sports kicking off four straight hours of local sports talk here at KGYM for the second to last day of May of 2023, May 30th. 319-366-1600. Talker text line wide open for you here on another fine afternoon in eastern Iowa. See nothing but blue skies from our perch here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Lots of ways you can check out the show on the radio dial, 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3. Both those are on the FM dial, by the way. 106.3 available in the Iowa City and Coralville area. Find us streaming at KGYMradio.com. You can also check out our free-to-download app for your smartphone. Download it today in your app store. Fire up the stream right then and there. Also find us in podcast form after the show at KGYMradio.com. Spencer Wagon, my name, producer Isaac, along for the ride as well here on a Tuesday. Isaac, how was the weekend for you?
It was good. I was able to take a day to myself and just kind of relax. Yeah,
just one day?
Yeah, the other days I was a little bit busy. Sunday, obviously, I had the IndyCar race here that I had to make sure ran smoothly. But it was nice having a day and just kind of relaxing other than that. How about yourself?
It was good. I was talking to you before the show today. My allergies, I feel like allergies are just getting worse and worse by the year. So a good chunk of Sunday was spent just like, I don't know, like in some sort of pollen-induced haze. Because I got out for a little bit, tried to enjoy the weather, and then Mother Nature just says, ha, you're trying to enjoy the weather. You're going to get punished for that.
Big mistake.
Yeah. So Sunday was not the most fun, but we were able to enjoy most of the weekend. So it was good. Yep. We're back. And we got lots to talk about. I'll get your thoughts because you told me you called what happened in game six. We'll talk about it in just a bit, but
kind of jokingly called it more than anything, I guess is a nice way to put it. Before the inbound, I said to my girlfriend who was sitting next to me, jokingly, I was like, Derek White, it's your time to shine. Because I was assuming that they were going to feed the ball to Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. And obviously it was Marcus Smart who put up the three.
Right.
But I just said jokingly, Derek White, it's your time to shine. And then he put in the put back there at the end. I was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I just said that would happen. And there goes Derek White. So, I mean, I called the San Antonio Spurs getting the number one pick, and here I am calling the final play of that. I think I predicted almost every single game wrong in that series, though.
Yeah.
So
that's,
I'm good on some things. Some things I'm just completely off on, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you can add the good things, you know, to just add it to your highlight reel, you know, whenever, you know, need to put together a list of your accomplishments. Correctly predicted the San Antonio Spurs winning the NBA draft lottery. Randomly picked Derek White to make a tip in game six of the Eastern Conference Finals, which the Celtics would then ultimately lose, which we will get to in today's show. But a couple feathers in the cap.
Yeah, I'll take what I can get. Again, I think I got almost every single game wrong in that series. And but at least I can say I predicted Derek White to get the last shot. Again, I don't care if it was a joke or not. It was definitely a joke. I said it, and I was like, there's no way Derek White's going to score as the final bucket. And he did. Good job to him, I guess.
There you go. And then the Celtics fell flat in Game 7. We'll get to that later on in the program. We'll get to an early look at the NBA Finals. It will be Denver and Miami, the 8 seed in the East, the 1 seed in the West. Game 1 coming up a couple days from now. Got to wait until Thursday evening for Game 1 of that series. We'll get to that, get to the NHL as well. No Game 7 in hockey either to talk about. Series coming to an end last night, Vegas dominating things. Get to that in our playoff update coming up here in about 20 minutes or so. Get to some Major League Baseball. A lot of great stories coming out of Memorial Day yesterday. Some comebacks made, plural, in Major League Baseball yesterday. One involving a former Cedar Rapids Colonel, one involving a member of the Chicago White Sox, one involving a pitcher for the Atlanta Braves, who, when he is healthy, is pretty darn good. always been a big fan of his, but he's been out for 3 years, made his return to the major leagues, did not end the way he wanted it to. We'll talk about why coming up before 3 o'clock as well. But plenty of baseball to start with. We spoke a lot last week, of course, during the Big Ten tournament run, that the Iowa baseball team essentially had locked things up for an NCAA regional and at-large bid, had a chance, of course, over the weekend to get the automatic bid by winning the Big Ten tournament. Did not happen for them, but ultimately in the end, our predictions, our thoughts came true. Our thoughts that Iowa had locked things up with a solid showing in Omaha last week did indeed come true. With a little bit of sweat maybe yesterday watching that selection show, having to wait till almost the very end of the show to hear their name called. But Iowa did indeed get in. Coach Rick Heller helping lead his Hawkeyes to an NCAA regional berth. And they don't have too far to go. Familiar spot for Rick Heller and the squad heading to Terre Haute, Indiana. Of course, Coach Heller was the coach at Indiana State for a number of years before coming to Iowa City. Indiana State, the top seed in the regional, and they will host the regional, which involves the Iowa Hawkeyes. We'll talk about that path here for Iowa and the baseball tournament as a whole coming up in just a moment. But in case you missed the tail end of the Big Ten tournament, Iowa getting a date again with Michigan. We talked about that with the show on Friday leading into the weekend. Iowa with a chance, of course, beating Indiana late in that day on Friday, coming back to win that game. And the Hawkeyes getting another date with Michigan on Saturday. And things went pretty well for Iowa. Ty Langenberg, an impressive afternoon or morning, I guess I should say. It was bright and early Saturday morning, 9 a.m. baseball game on the Big Ten Network, taking that in Saturday morning. Iowa getting a 7 solid innings from Ty Langenberg, 9 strikeouts, a 2-hitter for Langenberg as they beat Michigan for the second time in the tournament, 5-0. 6 hits for the Hawkeyes compared to just 3 for the Wolverines. Iowa getting a run in the third, a run in the sixth, and then getting 3 more in the seventh to help create the final margin. Those 3 in the seventh coming off of Connor O'Halloran, Big Ten's pitcher of the year, who was brought in on short rest to come in and help try to keep Iowa at bay. Hawkeyes already had a 2-0 lead, but O'Halloran were not able to hold off the Hawkeyes, giving up the final 3 runs of the afternoon, or morning, again, I should say, for Iowa over in Omaha. Hawkeyes with that 5-0 win. And then, well, not better results on Saturday, falling to Maryland, Terrapins team that won the Big Ten regular season title, number 1 overall seed in the tournament. The one team, if I remember the season correctly, for Iowa baseball that came into Iowa City and ended up winning a series, took 2 of 3 in Iowa City at Banks Field back in early April. Terps winning 4-0, a 3-run fifth ended up being the difference in that one. The Hawkeyes stranding 6 on base in that one, 5 hits in the affair as they fall 4-0 in the Big Ten title game on Saturday. So that's how the run ended for Iowa. I said on the show after they beat Michigan in the opener 13-3, that eight inning affair we talked about last week, I thought a lot of the experts, the folks that closely follow the team, thought that they had done enough to get in the tournament, and that certainly was the case. If you look at the regional brackets, you look at the selection show from yesterday, Iowa got in. And, in fact, a little bit better seating than a lot of the projections had them at. Baseball America, D1Baseball.com. We talked about those projections from the start of the Big Ten tournament up until the end of it. A lot of those national media sources, again, just a prediction, not locked in, set in stone. They can be wrong. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're right on, obviously. But Iowa, a lot of people projecting them as a number 3 seed and actually got flipped. Iowa jumping up a spot to a number 2 seed in the Terre Haute Regional. And they will take on the University of North Carolina. Basketball matchup? Football matchup? No. Baseball matchup. The Hawkeyes and the North Carolina Tar Heels here for the Terre Haute Regional with things getting started on Friday evening. Looking at the teams in the regional, the one seed, like I mentioned, is the Indiana State Sycamores. Remember that show back in February where I apparently said Hoosiers and like half the text line wanted to come to my house with pitchforks and torches because I forgot Indiana State's nickname? They're the Sycamores. See, you people, you can't get mad at me now. I remember their nickname. This was all like, Isaac, I think this was some conspiracy from the NCAA Regional Committee. Someone from the selection committee was listening to that show back in February, and they're like, ah, Spencer messed up their nickname. Let's pair them in the same regional.
I can see Indiana State becoming a big player in the NCAA in a couple years here. I'm sure I'll see them in headlines everywhere, and every time, I'm sure it'll annoy you. And
it'll be... Remember that time Spencer Wagon from KGYM accidentally said the wrong nickname, and half the people on the text line just lost their minds? Well, the Sycamores are hosting the regional. They are the number one seed, taking on the Wright State. They're the Raiders, right? The Wright State. I think I know my Horizon League teams well enough, but Indiana State hosting Wright State. That's the 1-4. Iowa, North Carolina is the 2-3. And like I said, things getting started up on Friday, 1 o'clock. Actually, that's noon Central Time. The times are in Eastern, so. Forget that I said 1 o'clock. It's noon Central Time on ESPN Plus for the first game. If you want to watch the Iowa game, you have to figure out whether you have the ACC network. I know I have it. Hulu Plus Live TV has it. I believe YouTube TV has it as well. I'm not sure about other providers. So make sure you have or know someone who has the ACC network for the Iowa baseball game, should you choose to watch it coming up on Friday. That is a 6 o'clock start local time from Terre Haute, Indiana. Overall, looking at the teams that are there, excluding Iowa, we've talked plenty about them, but North Carolina with a 35-22 overall record, RPI of 27. They did go 14-14 in the ACC this year. Ended up their regular season plus the tournament ending with a loss to the eventual ACC tournament champion Clemson by a 10-4 final score in the semifinals. For what it's worth, I was going through the teams today, trying to bring you some content, some information, some background about them. Tried to find common opponents. It's hard to judge a team, obviously, based on common opponents. Well, this team beat this team by 7 runs. That means Iowa will do this to that. Can't even really subscribe to that kind of theory. Just kind of shows commonality, I guess, between the teams. But North Carolina has played exactly one Big Ten team this year. That was Penn State, beat them 15-5 all the way back on March 8th in a midweek game in Chapel Hill, for what it's worth. So the Hawkeyes will take on the Tar Heels of North Carolina in the 2-3 game. Again, that is set for 6 o'clock on Friday night. Winners of those games will advance to a single game coming up on Saturday, set for 5 o'clock local time. The network yet to be determined for that game on Saturday. It is double elimination, so if you lose once, you get a second chance to play your way back through. But obviously, you want to get that first win. Don't have to be kind of playing the game with your back against the wall. Want to have that win under your belt right away. And I will certainly look to do that against North Carolina here right away in this NCAA regional. Indiana State, by the way, number one seed, like I mentioned, in their home regional. They're hosting it for the first time ever. And they had a pretty darn good season, 42-13, just one fewer loss than the Hawkeyes. Iowa at 42-14. Indiana State at 42-13 overall. 24-3 in the Mo Valley Conference. Their RPI in single digits, 9. That's pretty darn good RPI considering their conference in the Mo Valley Conference. And I will remind you again, Iowa and Indiana State, they met all the way back February 17th. That was the game in which I messed up their nickname, the Sycamores. And Iowa beat them 6-2 in 11 innings all the way back in February 17th. So it's been quite a while since those two teams have met up. Can you glean anything from February 17th to, June 2nd? Likely not, but they have played once before this season. Wright State, by the way, as well, the four seed, if you're curious about them. 39-21 overall record, 22-8 in the Horizon League. They swept Ohio State. Iowa, of course, took 2 of 3 from the Buckeyes in early May. They're in the same conference, if you're looking for common opponents, as UW-Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Panthers. And they split the season series 3 wins, 3 losses with Milwaukee in the regular season. Of course, the Iowa baseball team beat up on Milwaukee 12-1 back on April 12th at Duane Banks Field. That's a look at the regional by itself. If you are thinking about attending, you are making the trip over to Indiana. Some notes for that. I saw this earlier today from Indiana State Athletics. Tickets do go on sale in about an hour and 40 minutes, 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Central time. Actually, make that 40 minutes from now. My brain is all messed up with this Eastern versus Central, I guess. But 3 o'clock Central, so 40 minutes from now, tickets do go on sale for the public if you want to buy tickets to those games. Also, if you are headed that way, there is a open practice, it looks like, on Thursday with Iowa practicing 11:30 to 12:45. I believe that is Eastern time, so you can put that on your calendar if you are making the trip to Terre Haute. Each team has that opportunity to get some practice work in, get an opportunity to see all the teams that are part of it, with things starting at 10 o'clock Eastern time for that on Thursday. 319-366-1600. Other regional notes with the tournament starting up here this weekend. The 16 regional hosts, won't go through all of them, but the top hosts for this regional tournament, the NCAA tournament, 8 national seeds led by the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Wake Forest baseball, they're decent in football. They've been good in basketball. Steve Forbes, of course, leading Wake Forest, the Iowa native there, but Wake Forest baseball, number 1 overall seed in the nation. Kind of crazy to think. Florida, Arkansas, Clemson, LSU, Vanderbilt, Virginia, and Stanford. Those are the top 8 national seeds. If all those teams advance, they will indeed host the Super Regional. There are no first-time teams in this year's NCAA tournament. Kind of a fun fact for you as you, if you choose to watch some college baseball, you're like, is there a... Aside from, you know, of course, the Hawkeyes or maybe any other team that you might have connections to or might have an interest in watching, is there an underdog, a true underdog? You know, Ole Miss last year, I'm not calling the SEC an underdog, by the way. Ole Miss was the last team in the field, and they ended up winning the whole thing. Well, there's no first-time participants. There are, you know, the teams that were the last 4 in, first 4 out, stuff like that to watch on. But I thought this was interesting. There are 4 teams in the field that have not made the NCAA baseball tournament in at least 2 decades. The closest team in that field is San Jose State. They haven't made it in 21 years. 2002 for San Jose State. Nichols State, or just Nichols now, I believe is what they're called. This is their first appearance since 1998. Santa Clara out of California, their first appearance since 1997. And the University of Pennsylvania, first appearance since all the way back in 1995. So it's been quite a while. Maybe we'll all jump on the Penn hype train, see if they can make a run in the NCAA field. But those are the 4 teams that have not made it in 20-plus years. Saw that from ESPN earlier today here for the college baseball tournament. Iowa not the only Big Ten team in the field, by the way. 3 teams did get in, of course. SEC, ACC, the warmer conferences, we've seen this before, and rightfully so. They're very good baseball teams, not to disparage anything that they do down there, but they get to practice and play baseball pretty much all year round, whereas we here in the Midwest, well, we're lucky if it's not snowing in early May. But Iowa is in, of course. They're in the regional with Indiana State. Indiana did make it as well. They get to play on... well, the regional with their rival, Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky, a number 1 seed. Indiana will play West Virginia in the opening round. And then Maryland. Maryland gets lumped in. The Big Ten champ gets lumped in with Wake Forest, the number 1 national seed. So good luck to the Terps as they take on Northeastern in that regional. Should be pretty good. Wake Forest, the little I've seen of them. I don't pay attention, a ton of attention to ACC baseball, but Wake 47-10. 57 games, you only lost 10 of them. That's pretty darn good for a college baseball season. But Hawkeyes will take on UNC. The Tar Heels coming up on Friday. We'll have plenty more preview of that as the week rolls on. 225 here with you, Spencer on Sports on this Tuesday, May 30th of 2023. Got some basketball and some hockey to get to. We'll rewind briefly to Game 6 and look at Game 7, which turned out to be, well, not exactly what I'm sure Celtics fans were hoping for. We'll talk about that. Preview the NBA Finals coming up in just a bit. Spencer on Sports with you on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today. Temperatures are going to be climbing into the upper 80s to near 90 degrees. As we head into tonight, we'll have mostly clear skies and drop down to a low around 60. Tomorrow will be toasty with temperatures up around 90. The humidity will be a bit higher, and we'll have the chance for a few isolated showers and storms. That'll be the case for the rest of the week. Temperatures near 90, a little humid, with a chance for hit or miss thunderstorms. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. ENJ Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have ENJ install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from ENJ Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at ENJ Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Get 11% off your appliance upgrade now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices with the largest in-stock appliance selection, ready to take home today. New appliances from Menards are meant to make your life easier. Upgrade your home with top appliance brands including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home with new energy-efficient appliances and save 11%. Good through June 4th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back at 227 with Spencer on Sports here for a Tuesday afternoon. Welcome back to work. You're able to enjoy at least some of your long holiday weekend. Short week always seems to fly by. It's already middle of the week tomorrow. We've only been at work for 2 days. It's crazy. Not going to be one to complain. 319-366-1600. Talking a little college baseball to start the show. Iowa and North Carolina kicking off that NCAA regional in Terre Haute, Indiana. Starting Friday, 6 o'clock on the ACC Network. Iowa the 2, North Carolina the 3. We talk about the teams that made it. There are teams that, of course, did not make the field. And I saw this. This just came across on Twitter. I'm a big baseball fan, so I'm following any baseball content I can. You know that if you listen to the show. I follow college baseball, follow some of my favorite minor league teams, mostly within the Brewers organization, but I also follow the Twins minor league teams, Wichita Wind Surge. Great nickname, by the way. Wind Surge. Kind of cool. St. Paul Saints as well. Follow them just to keep up on different prospects that have come through Cedar Rapids or, you know, regional teams and players we've seen here and maybe getting a call up to the major leagues. Well, I follow a bunch of college baseball accounts, and this was a rather lengthy statement put up by Kansas State head coach Pete Hughes, who is not too happy with the process. And we've heard, you know, it's easy to complain, right, when you don't get what you want, but I think there is a fair point in this, especially when we've seen the selection committee, I feel like, be arbitrary with their decision-making in years past. You know, if you're an Iowa fan, obviously you're happy that your team got in. You're happy that they got a two seed this year, but there have been past years where you felt like your team, whether it's Iowa or somebody else, did enough, they won enough games, they performed well enough, and then they get kind of left hanging out to dry after Selection Monday. And Pete Hughes, head coach at Kansas State, said this. Now, this is a direct quote from the K-State baseball Twitter account. "The Division I baseball committee and the system failed K-State, our program, and our seniors. It was obvious that the committee overemphasized the RPI, which is a flawed metric. The regional disparities of the RPI are glaring and still were used as a tool to form, shape, and make decisions." Pete Hughes going on to say the most important criteria that has zero gray area is head-to-head competition. Goes on to say it's definitive. Someone wins, someone loses. We were left out in place of two teams that we finished ahead of in overall conference play and also two teams that we beat head-to-head. Says, why play the games if the records are not valued? When did we stop rewarding winning? Says it's inexplicable and disappointing. Our players and community deserve better. Obviously, K-State did not make the field. I think he has, Isaac, some fair points. RPI can't be everything, and we've seen this before, and I think we still saw it even with the bracket. Again, like I said, you know, we're here in Eastern Iowa. If you're an Iowa fan, you're happy your team got in, but the Big Ten only got three teams in. It wasn't the best conference, but I feel like there was, you know, more. There always seems to be more teams that deserve to get in that don't get in. And then you have teams that, just because they played a tougher schedule, maybe they didn't win all the games, but they played a tougher schedule, they get the nod over a team that is seemingly more deserving.
Yeah, and I mean, when you have a metric that deducts you points if you win a game based on who you're playing, I think you got to take a look at it again. Like, right. I think I don't understand the logic there. I get where he's coming from, where how RPI can sometimes just not make sense. Like, how can you win against a team and you're worse off? In my mind, it just doesn't.
Right.
Like, why? Like, how can that possibly happen? So I can see the point where it's just confusing and you don't quite understand how these rankings and how they kind of use that sort of thing.
It doesn't make sense to have a game on your schedule, and especially late in the season. And we've seen this happen with Iowa, where you know, they have a midweek game on their schedule, and scheduling midweek games, you know, this is another thing that's part of this whole process. It's easier for SEC teams to schedule midweek games against quality competition because there's South has really good baseball,
right.
And it's easy for them to get a good game against a non-conference team, and that it is for Iowa, considering, you know, the time of the year is number one. You know, you have to hope that you're able to play baseball and not be too cold or snowing or whatever. And, you know, the number of quality baseball teams up this far, you know, in the United States is, I mean, not to disparage, you know, certain teams, but the level of competition that you can draw from for a midweek, say, an example for Iowa is much different than, say, an Ole Miss or Vanderbilt.
It's just not the same level, and that's fair. And that has to do with geography. I mean, you can only play so long here. Like, I mean, you can start earlier in the South, and you can't start earlier here. Yeah. It just comes to that.
So, but back to my point, you know, you see a game on the schedule. I think this year is UIC. It's beneficial for the team to cancel the game as opposed to play it, because if you win, your RPI still goes down. You lose, your RPI really goes down, and then you're in a really bad spot. Yeah. So it's tough for both sides of it, right? It's tough for the team that has a chance to make the tournament, and it's tough for the team that doesn't necessarily have a chance to make the tournament, but still wants the experience of playing big-time competition.
Yeah, and it just doesn't make sense. How can winning a game, if it is against weaker competition, so be it. But how can that hurt you? I just doesn't make sense in my head. Mm. Like, you play to win, so how could... And then, like, there's some losses where, like, it could go up. It just doesn't... I don't understand it.
It doesn't make sense. I don't think, sadly, the system is going to change. because I feel like the committee is just fine with how they put teams in the bracket with the system. But it is certainly interesting to see some of the coaches sound off. And we've heard Rick Heller, head coach of the Hawkeyes, share his displeasure with kind of the system and how things are. How things are picked, or how teams are picked, how teams are selected, how teams are bracketed for the tournament before. Don't think it's going to change anytime soon, and that's kind of the tough thing, especially if you feel like your team deserved a spot to be in the tournament. But those words from the Kansas State head coach coming out on Twitter this afternoon and making the rounds, of course, on social media. 2:35, let's transition over to basketball. Let's rewind to game six real quick, because that was just totally insane. The Heat able to get those free throws from Jimmy Butler. He was fouled. Initially, it was called a two. Celtics asked for a review. It was determined that Butler was behind the line. And then, well, he makes all three free throws. Game over, right? The Heat were celebrating. Fans were celebrating like they won the game. And then Derek White tips the ball in, as Isaac kind of half told us he half jokingly called on Saturday night watching it. Just a complete bizarre ending, one for the storybooks, I guess, and one that, you know, I mean, could have served as a backbreaker going into game seven. If you're Miami, of course, oh, we got it won. Jimmy Butler made the free throws. We're going to the finals. How many times have you seen kind of the script flip like that on a dime? And, you know, sometimes the team that has the stunning play against them happen, they come out flat in the next game. Well, the exact opposite happened here with game seven. After game six on Saturday night, where Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo combined to go 9 for 37 from the floor, the Heat came out and said, all right, enough of this. And they ran over Boston last night, 103-84. Jimmy Butler with 28. Caleb Martin, 26 points and 10 rebounds, made 4 of 6 three-pointers. Bam Adebayo with 10, 12, and 7. 10 each from Gabe Vincent and Duncan Robinson as the Heat are moving on to the NBA Finals. Here's Eric Spoelstra talking about this run his team has been on so far. They knocked off Milwaukee. They knocked off the Knicks. They knocked off the Celtics. Knicks, you know, I mean, compared to Milwaukee and Boston, the top two seeds in the East, okay, maybe not the strongest of competition, but still an impressive run for a team that barely made the postseason, had to go through the play-in. Here they are, 4 wins away from an NBA title.
What happened last year, you know, obviously was on our mind, and it drove us this year. And that's what you always hope for competition, that it can drive you to a higher level. And I think that's what you saw in this series this year, to be able to have to overcome a lot of stuff. And in terms of answering your question, look, I think probably people can relate to this team. You know, their life is hard. Professional sports is just kind of a reflection sometimes of life. The things don't always go your way, and the inevitable setbacks happen, and it's how you deal with that collectively. There's a lot of different ways that it can go. It can sap your spirit. It can take a team down for whatever reason. With this group, it's steeled us and made us closer.
And they got closer, they got the job done, and are headed to the finals for the 7th time in franchise history. More on that in just a bit. But for Boston, again, the number 2 seed in the East, knocked out by the number 8 seeded Miami Heat, and doing so, going out, scoring their fewest points in a game this season, whether regular or postseason, 84 points a season low. Started the game last night 0-for-12 on three-pointers. In fact, the last 2 games, 20% from 3 in Game 6, 21% in Game 7 for Boston. And things were not great last night. Really started early on, and this is something, of course, a lot of people have talked about, but certainly can point to this as one of the things that helped the Celtics, or hurt the Celtics more than helped them last night. Jason Tatum on the first possession of the game, going for the Euro step, rolls his ankle, really did not look 100% the rest of that game. Finished with 14 points and 11 rebounds, 5 of 13 from the floor, just 1 of 4 from 3. Jaylen Brown, too, 19 points all told, 8 rebounds, 8 of 23 from the floor, 1 of 9 from 3, and a career-high 8 turnovers in the game. Here is Marcus Smart, in particular, asked about injuries, not just to Jason Tatum, but some other key injuries, including Derek White. Been dealing with an injury to Malcolm Brogdon as well. Seems like those all compounded at the worst possible time for Boston.
I mean, yeah, he took a fall early. You know, he hurt his ankle real, really bad early. And, you know, he could have came out the game. You know, he stayed in, he tried to fight. And obviously you can see he wasn't himself. He wasn't as explosive. And the ankle was really killing him. And he tried to fight. It just didn't go in his favor. It didn't go in any of our favors, but we continue just to fight and help him, you know, and try to get through. and then D. White goes out with a knee injury as well. And then obviously we know about Malcolm. So it's tough, you know, at the wrong time, but it's part of the game. It's like I said, certain things you can't control, and getting hurt like that is nothing you can control. So it just happened at the wrong time.
Marcus Smart from post-game there talking about their 103-84 loss to the Miami Heat in Game 7 last night. We talk about Caleb Martin and really impressive stuff last night for the series as a whole as well. Going back to Miami here briefly, Martin finishing 11 of 16 from the floor last night in Game 7. All told through the series, 135 points, and much has been made about him being undrafted. Did you know that Caleb Martin was undrafted? Wow, breaking news. He played really well for an undrafted guy. Basically what I'm saying. That is the most, 135 points in the series, the most in a conference or NBA finals by an undrafted player. And his head coach, Eric Spoelstra, talking about his performance in Game 7 and really this playoff series as a whole.
It's been amazing. You know, if you're a real competitor and it's in your soul, and that's what Caleb is, he's a competitor. Every bit the competitor that, you know, you talk about with Jimmy or Bam or, you know, whatever. Caleb is a competitor. You get to the higher stakes, the further you get along, the more competitors are going to reveal themselves. You know, Game 7s or get to the conference finals, it's not for everybody in this association. Otherwise, you know, more players, more teams would do it. You have to be wired a little bit differently. And Caleb is. He's pure. He competes on both ends, lays it all out there for everybody to see. He's accepted different roles.
He coached Eric Spoelstra talking after the games. The Heat are on to the NBA Finals. Like I said, their 7th appearance in franchise history. All of those coming since 2006. And when you look at all the teams that have been to the finals a number of times in that time span from 06 to the present day, they are the most. They have the most such appearances in that span with 7. The Warriors have 6. The Cavs have 5. And the Lakers have 4. What's the common thread between 3 of those teams? LeBron James, Miami, the Cavs, and the Lakers, of course, with those finals appearances since 2006. They are the only second. I can't talk today. Did you notice? I'm sure there's some folks who are like, oh, you can't talk again. But they are only the second number 8 seed to reach the NBA Finals, looking to become the first team to win the whole thing as the number 8 seed. The 99 Knicks lost in 5 to the Spurs. And we'll go back to the stat we talked about, Isaac, last week all the time. It looked like we were finally going to get the 1 in the 150-0 stat, especially after Derek White's tip-in on Saturday night. But the teams, with a 3-0 lead and a best of 7, they toyed with history there. Boston did, but 151-0. It's incredible because it just felt like I even said I picked Celtics in 6 to win the series. I was wrong there. I kept picking the Heat, and I'm kind of like you. You said earlier, I think we picked every single game wrong. It was one of the more bizarre series in, I think, NBA playoffs history, and it was even more bizarre with, you know, Boston's going home to Game 7, right? Like, oh, well, they're going to win because they do so well in Game 7s, especially at home. They're going to make history, and then Miami just said, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, it just really odd series. And I don't. I think maybe we just kind of underestimated Miami's mental toughness, because I think 99% of teams after that Game 6 loss would have just completely folded in Game 7. I mean, you could look at something like the San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat finals in like 2014-13. I can't remember what year, but with that Ray Allen shot in Game 6 and that Ray Allen 3 at the final...
In the corner.
Yeah, in the corner, the notorious. And the Spurs were going to win that series. They were going to win that game, and that was going to be the end of the series. And then Miami wins Game 6, and then obviously in Game 7, I think the Spurs kind of just... I think it was kind of close, if I remember correctly, but the Heat won the game, and I think it was somewhat comfortable. But I think we just kind of underestimated this Miami's team, thinking they were going to be like everybody else, when they have so... I think it does go back to somewhat of the undrafted player mentality, where so many of those guys have chips on their shoulder, whether that's like Kyle Lowry being like, I'm 37, people don't believe in me anymore. Jimmy Butler always has a chip on his shoulder throughout his career. And then you have all the undrafted guys who are trying to prove themselves. And on top of, you know, good veterans like Kevin Love in there. Kevin Love, by the way, has made the finals every year he's made the playoffs, is what I saw on Twitter. So
interesting.
Yeah, I mean, just I think we just kind of underestimated that, thinking that Miami would act like any other team when they just are not like any other team. They have the best head coach in the league right now, and they have just killer mentality everywhere on the team.
Heat and Nuggets. We'll make our picks later in the week, but I am leaning towards the Nuggets. I just think the Nuggets have had, like, what, 9 days off? The Heat just had to go to seven.
Yeah,
and turn around Thursday, go into Denver. I don't know.
Maybe tough, I'm tough, play, again, here tough we, play style too.
Yeah, are we underestimating the Heat again here?
I know. It feels so wrong to be like, oh, I think the Nuggets are just gonna kind of roll, because that's just kind of what we've been saying for anybody playing the Heat throughout the playoffs here, is thinking, oh, well, eventually Milwaukee's gonna come back. They didn't. You know, I didn't really think the Knicks were gonna beat them. No offense to the Knicks or anything, but I would. You know, we kind of thought at the beginning of the series the Celtics are going to roll past them. Obviously, they didn't. So, I'm leaning Nuggets too, but it feels a little bit like maybe I should start questioning that, because the Heat just keep on defying expectations and playing. I mean, you could say it's above their heads, but maybe it's just the level that they're at.
Playing up to their potential, maybe, going forward. Heat Nuggets Game 1 is set for Thursday, by the way, Game 1. 7:30 is the tip-off. ESPN coverage starts an hour before, so 6:30 broadcast time right here on KGYM. Quick look at hockey as well from the weekend. The Stanley Cup Finals set. The Vegas Golden Knights headed on, blowing out Dallas last night 6-0. Not the best, most competitive game to end it, but Vegas moves on. They beat Dallas last night 6-0. 3 in the first, 1 in the second, and 2 in the third. William Karlsson with 2 goals and an assist. Jonathan Marchessault with his 9th goal of the playoffs in the second period. And Aiden Hill had 23 saves for Vegas in net. So a 4-2 series win for Las Vegas. Dallas made it interesting. Got 2 in that series after falling down 3-0. But Vegas able to secure the victory last night. So it will be Vegas and the Florida Panthers coming up. Game 1, you have to wait all the way till Saturday to check out Game 1 with a 7 o'clock start time from Las Vegas. So Vegas and Florida, Miami and the Denver Nuggets, Miami and the Florida Panthers, the Heat and the Florida Panthers, two teams from the same area, same part of the country, same metro area, playing for the championships. We'll see if there are dual parades coming up here for the NBA and NHL finals. 319-366-1600. 3148, Isaac, by the way, says Nugs in 5.
That's kind of what we were leaning to when we talked about it before the show. I'm kind of leaning that way too. It's just like, it feels so wrong. I just, every game I'm picking against, every series I'm picking against Miami, and they've just proven me wrong. So maybe I just have some PTSD just building up in there.
Denver is the, for those of you interested in placing a wager, Denver is the heavy favorite to win the NBA title. Minus 400 at DraftKings, minus 480 at FanDuel. Heat in plus territory, plus 300 at BetMGM, plus 310 at DraftKings. So make some cash if Denver if Miami wins it. But a lot of people in agreement, at least the folks I've talked to, Isaac and I so far, that Denver's going to win the series. I think it's not a foregone conclusion. Still got to play it out, but we're all on the side of Denver so far. 319-366-1600. That's the Talker text line. Poll question, by the way, kgymradio.com. Which championship matchup is more intriguing? Are you more intrigued by the NBA with Denver and Miami, or are you more intrigued by the Stanley Cup final with Vegas and the Florida Panthers? You can vote at kgymradio.com, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. 2 minute timeout, back with some baseball notes from the weekend to wrap it up here in the gym.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Improve visibility and save $8 instantly when you pick up a pair of Bosch Icon wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Bosch Icon premium blades can help you see better and drive safer. And our professional parts people will install them for you for free. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Finally, baseball is back. Swing into the season with tickets to the action. Plus, with basketball and hockey heating up, now is a great time to experience a game. Vivid Seats is proud to be the official ticketing partner of ESPN. From on the glass to in the stands, Vivid Seats has great ticket prices to all the games. Every crack of the bat, every dribble down the court. Catch it all with Vivid Seats. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs. Visit FanDuel.com/play.
21 plus in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit kesgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, gamblinghelplinema.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York, 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Back at 2:52 is winding down the show here for today, a Tuesday edition of Spencer on Sports. Back with you tomorrow at 2. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp coming up between 4 and 6. We'll let you know what's coming up on those shows here in just a little bit. Baseball from the extended holiday weekend. Almost some history made yesterday, both in St. Louis, and almost had a nice afternoon in Chicago, but neither historical moment came to fruition for either team. The Cubs nearly getting a no-hitter of the Tampa Bay Rays, best team in baseball. Cubs still winning the game 1-0, but Marcus Stroman, complete game, gave up one hit. That was a single to Wander Franco in the top half of the seventh inning. So just missing out on the no-no for Stro, as I've seen him referred to on social media. Cubs with the win there. Other side of Chicago, how about Liam Hendricks returning to the mound after battling non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? Diagnosed with that earlier this year in January, underwent treatment, chemotherapy. Since has been declared cancer-free and in remission, and he returned last night. Not the best results when you look at it. Two runs on three hits and a walk and one inning of work for Liam Hendricks, but still, the stats don't necessarily matter when you've made that comeback from being diagnosed with cancer to return to the mound. Angels win the game last night, 6-4. Speaking of comebacks, how about Royce Lewis, 1 year to the day of tearing his ACL? He went 2-for-5 with a 3-run home run, drove in 4 as the Twins beat the Astros in 10 innings yesterday, 7-5. Ryan Jeffers, go-ahead 2-run home run in the 10th. That's after Jose Altuve clubbed a grand slam to go ahead in the seventh for Houston. Lewis with an RBI tied it in the ninth. Twins able to go on and beat Houston 7-5 in 10 innings. And in St. Louis, we almost had the first combined perfect game in Major League history. It wasn't the Cardinals doing it. It was the Royals, Josh Stammen and Mike Mayer. They came within 6 outs of the first combined perfect game in Major League history. It was broken up by Nolan Arenado, a single from him in the eighth. Michael Massey, Bobby Witt Jr. adding some home run support, solo shot support in the ninth as the Royals beat the Cardinals there 7-0. Also mentioned another comeback from yesterday, a player we haven't seen in the bigs since 2020. 3 years ago, Mike Soroka, fine pitcher for the Atlanta Braves when he's healthy, got his first start since August 3rd of 2020. Has been battling his way back from multiple surgeries on his Achilles. Got the start last night for the Braves going into Oakland, and the Oakland A's able to win that game, beating Mike Soroka in his first start. Ryan Noda, maybe a future remember some guy, and Ryan Noda, I feel like a lot of players on the Oakland A's might be going forward. We'll see. But Ryan Noda, the go-ahead three-run home run in the fifth. The A's with the win over the Braves, one of the better teams in the National League. They snap an 11-game losing streak. They now have 11 wins on the season. 11-45 for the Oakland A's as they beat Atlanta 7-2. Other highlight from last night, Aaron Judge doing Aaron Judge things, clubbing a couple homers against the Seattle Mariners, drove in three, scored three runs in a 10-4 victory. Julio Rodriguez, after a slow start to the year, heating up 2-for-4 with a homer, drove in three last night for the Mariners in that loss. That'll wrap up the program for today. We'll talk a little bit more baseball tomorrow, take a look at the schedules and such, and preview more of the NCAA Regional, Hawkeyes, and more from the tournament coming up on tomorrow's show, just after 2 o'clock. Play more of that on the way with Scott and Mark on the gym class. We've got Kyle Huseman from Hawkeye Report joining them just after 3:30 to talk some Iowa baseball, look at the regional path ahead for the Hawkeyes. Todd Brommelkamp in between 4 and 6 as well. ESPN Radio tonight, Joe and Amber, followed by Freddie and Fitzsimmons coming your way after 6 right here on KGYM. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 2. With Spencer on Sports right here on KGYM.